Please turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 11. Over these past number of weeks, we have been considering the life and times of Moses. And we want to again consider an aspect from the life of Moses today. I want to preach very simply on the subject, Moses stepping out for Christ. But let's read some verses first of all from verse 23 of Hebrews chapter 11. By faith Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child, and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 27, knowing the Lord will bless again the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Let's bow in a wee word of prayer and ask the Lord for his help as we come to consider this subject. Father in heaven, we thank thee and we praise thee for this portion of scripture. We thank thee, Lord, for Moses. And we thank thee, Lord, for the day when he stepped out for Christ, when he forsook Egypt, when he identified himself with the people of God. And Lord, we pray today that there might be those in this service who will step out for Christ. Trust thee as their own and personal Redeemer. O God, we thank thee that you're still able to save to the uttermost all that come to thee through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray therefore to this end that even in this service this afternoon, that there might be those who will turn from their sin and seek the Lord and find eternal redemption through the blood of the Lamb. We thank thee and we praise thee for the blood of the Lamb, for there's no redemption outside of the blood of Christ. For without the shedding of blood there is no remission. But we thank thee and we praise thee, Lord, that you're able to save all those who come and put their trust in thee. O Lord, I pray therefore to this end that you would fill us afresh with your gracious Holy Spirit. And help us, Lord, only to say those things that will be pleasing to thee. For it's in Jesus' precious name we ask it. Amen. So far in our studies in the life and times of Moses, we have considered the circumstances surrounding the birth of Moses. And we have seen how God preserved Moses when he was born against the wickedness of evil rulers. Today, I want to consider with you the decision Moses made when he was 40 years of age. We have already noticed that Moses, when he was a child, was adopted into the family of Pharaoh's daughter. We read that in Exodus 2 and verse 10. For the next 40 years, Moses lived in the palace of Egypt as a son of Pharaoh's daughter. During that time, Moses received the education of Egypt. He received the military training of Egypt. And he had access to the wealth and riches of Egypt. We read in Acts 7 verse 22 these words, "And Moses was learnt in all the wisdom of the Egyptians, and was mighty in words and in deeds." Therefore, by the time Moses was 40 years of age, he had the world at his fingertips. He had everything that any young man, humanly speaking, could desire. But the day came when Moses decided to leave the house of Pharaoh's daughter and to return again to his own people, leaving the wealth of Egypt behind him. That was the day, I believe, that Moses stepped out for Christ. Look at verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. This text of Scripture reveals unto us Moses leaving Egypt and stepping out for Christ. And as we're going to find out in the course of this message, identifying himself with the people of God. But what did it mean for Moses to step out for Christ and make this decision? What did this decision involve? Well, that's what we want to find out today. And I pray that if you're not saved in this meeting, that you will listen very carefully to God's word, because I believe that there is a very simple but a very clear message here for you. My friend, if you're still found in your sin, still found in this service rejecting Christ as your Savior, you need to come and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ today. You need to step out for Christ. And I pray that the Lord, even this Lord's Day, will give you the grace to do that. Because your greatest need this Lord's Day is to be born again of the Spirit of God and to be redeemed by the precious blood of Christ. Basically, this decision that Moses made to step out for Christ, it involved three things. First of all, it involved separation. Look with me there at Hebrews 11 and verse 24. By faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at the beginning of verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt. I want you to underline those words. By faith he forsook Egypt. Moses forsook Egypt, and he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. In other words, Moses separated himself from all that was associated with Egypt. All the wealth and riches and pleasures and popularity and prestige that Moses had when he lived as a son of Pharaoh's daughter, he was now giving that all up. Moses was turning his back on Egypt and forsaking his old life forever. It meant turning away from the sins of Egypt. It meant turning away from the gods of Egypt. It meant turning away from the lifestyle of Egypt. It meant leaving Egypt lock, stock, and barrel. And that is what Moses did. That's what the Bible tells us here. That's what the Scriptures here in Hebrews chapter 11 is teaching us. That's what it means when it says here that Moses forsook Egypt. He was leaving the old world behind him. He was leaving his old life behind him. That life that he had lived for 40 years. My friend, if you're not saved in this service today, if you're ever going to be saved, you must separate from the world. You must turn away from your sin. Egypt is a type of the world. And just as Moses, as he stepped out for Christ, had to separate from Egypt, before you can be saved, you must leave the world behind you. You must turn away from your sin. You see, that's what repentance means. Repentance is separation from the world. Repentance is turning away from sin. And there can be no salvation without repentance. Let me emphasize it again. If you're not saved today, your greatest need is God's salvation. And of course, that's the reason why the Lord Jesus Christ came to this earth. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. That's the reason why he died upon a cross and shed his blood. That's the reason why he rose again, in order to provide salvation for you and for me. Because the Bible says that we were born in sin and shapen in iniquity. And because of our sin, we were lost on our way to hell. But Jesus came to die on the cross in order to provide eternal salvation for us. But before you and I can enter into that salvation, we must come and trust Christ as our Savior. And in order to do that, we must turn away from our sin. That's what repentance is. We must separate from this world. We must separate from the sins of this world. This was the message of Paul. In Acts 17, verse 30, Paul said, God now commandeth all men everywhere to repent. This was the message of John the Baptist. Matthew 3, verse 2, John the Baptist said, repent ye, for the kingdom of God is at hand. This was the message of the Lord Jesus Christ in Luke 13, verses 3 and 5. The Lord Jesus said, except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Oh, my friend, have you ever repented of your sin? Repentance means more than being sorry. It's possible for me to be sorry for something and yet not repent of it. Before my father was converted, he was a very heavy drinker. And he would go out every weekend and he would drink from Friday to the Monday, sometimes drinking himself sober. Some people believe that's impossible to do, but I'll tell you it's not impossible to do. And then after a weekend of drinking, he would come home and he would be sorry for what he had just done. And he would promise my mother that he would never go drinking again. But after a few weeks, he would get the old thirst for the booze again and he would go out drinking again. Although he was sorry for his sin, he had not repented of his sin. You see, you can be sorry for something without repenting. But when you repent, then you'll not go back to it. On the day my father got saved, many years ago, and I'll never forget the night he got saved, because I was there, he never lifted a bottle of booze from that day until the day he died. Why? Because he repented. He turned away from his sin. And my friend, if you're going to step out for Christ, just as Moses stepped out for Christ, then you have to turn away from your sin. You've got to separate from it. And that's what Moses is doing here. After 40 years of living in his sin and living in Egypt for the pleasures of the world, he then steps out for Christ. And in doing so, he separates from the old world. You've got to leave the old world behind you. You can't have the world and have Christ. You can't have your sin and have Christ. It's one or the other. That's what the Bible teaches. We often sing that little chorus, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back, no turning back. The cross before me, the world behind me, no turning back, no turning back. Moses here is making a decision. It's a personal decision. It's a conscious decision. It's a wise decision. My friend, you need to make that decision today as well. You need to decide this day, if you're not saved, that you're stepping out for Christ and that you're leaving your sin behind you. That's what repentance is. But notice something else. Take a look at Hebrews chapter 11 again, and you'll see, secondly, the decision that Moses made not only involved separation, but it involved persecution. Look what it says in verse 25. Choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Look at the first part of verse 26. Esteeming the reproach of Christ.
The reproach of Christ. Greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. When Moses stepped out for Christ, he knew that it was not going to be easy leaving Egypt behind him. Moses knew that he was going to be reproached and scourged and mocked and laughed at. The word reproach in Hebrews 11 verse 26, it means verbal abuse. Moses knew that he would suffer much when he left Egypt to follow Christ, and so he did. But Moses was willing to be persecuted and to endure this affliction for the cause of his Savior. Now, friend, it's very important that you see that in this portion of Scripture. Moses was going to suffer. And he was going to be persecuted. And he was going to be laughed at. My friend, maybe that's the reason you're not saved today. Because you're afraid of people laughing at you and mocking you if you were to become a Christian. You're afraid of the verbal abuse you might receive if you were to leave this church today and tell your friends at work tomorrow that you have got saved and become a follower of Jesus Christ. Well, Moses was not afraid, nor was he ashamed of Christ. You know what the Bible says in Mark 8 verse 38? Listen to these words. Whosoever shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with his holy angels. Moses had respect for the rewards of God. Moses preferred God's rewards to anything man could give him. He knew that what God was going to give him was far more than what man could give him. Look at verse 26 again. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. Not only was Moses not ashamed of Christ, not only did Moses step out and identify himself with Christ, but Moses knew that what God was promising was far greater than what Egypt was promising. My friend, that's the truth. What God promises you today in salvation is far more than what the world can promise you. What the devil can promise you. Now, the devil will promise you much. And there's no doubt that there's pleasure in sin. And there's no doubt that the sinner enjoys his sin. But as we read in this portion of Scripture in verse 25, the pleasures of sin are but for a season. They only last for a short time. But Moses could see beyond the pleasures of sin. And he recognized that what was in Christ was eternal and everlasting. Do you realize that today? Those of you who are in this meeting enjoying the pleasures of sin, they're only temporal. Listen, the day my father got saved, he realized that the booze was only temporal. He realized that his old friends in the pub, they were only temporal. And he recognized that what Christ was offering was everlasting. I pray today that God will write his word upon your heart that you might realize that. What did God give Moses? He gave him salvation through Christ. He gave him peace in his heart. He gave him pardon from his sin. He gave him a home in heaven. He gave him a life worth living. Before this, Moses was living for the pleasures of sin. But now, he had truly something worth living for. He was living his life for Christ. And it mattered not what the world thought or did or said. Moses had joy in his soul and contentment in his life. Oh, my friend, stepping out for Christ and being saved will mean some kind of persecution. That is true. And there's no doubt that Moses did suffer and suffer greatly. But what you receive The moment you're saved will make the persecution fall into insignificance. There's a tremendous portion of scripture over in Romans chapter 8. And I want you to turn over to Romans chapter 8. Keep your hand in Hebrews 11. And take a look at verse 16 to 18 of Romans chapter 8. Here we have Paul under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Look what he says in verse 16. He's writing to God's people. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. Notice how Paul there emphasizes all the spiritual blessings in Christ. But then look at verse 18. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. Oh, in other words, when we get home to heaven, all the suffering that we have endured for Christ's sake upon this earth will fall into insignificance. All the mocking, all the verbal abuse, all the suffering will fall into nothing compared to what glory in heaven is going to be like. My friend, that's the truth. That's the truth. In Philippians 3 verses 7 and 8, Paul said this, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. Paul said he counted them all but dung, so that he might win Christ. Oh, would you not come today and trust the Savior? Leave the old world behind you. Get out of Egypt. Oh, there might be a little persecution. But even if the persecution's great, what is that compared to spending all eternity in heaven with the King of Kings? Those of us who are saved, we're going home to glory soon, to see the city bright, to walk the golden streets of heaven and bask in God's own light. And I'll tell you, dear child of God, all the things that we have had to suffer in this old world, let me say it again, if you haven't heard it yet, it'll all fall into insignificance. We'll forget all about it when we see our Savior face to face, and when we enter into our eternal rest. Oh, stepping out for Christ, it means separation. Stepping out for Christ, it means persecution. There's no doubt about that. But take a look at Hebrews 11 again. Notice something else here. Stepping out for Christ means and involves identification. Look what it says in verse 25, that Moses chose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Underline that. And look at verse 26 again. Esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Moses identified himself with the people of God. When Moses stepped out for Christ, when he left Egypt, he identified himself with the people of God. And he identified himself, of course, with the Christ of God. We've already made that point. The children of Israel were God's people. And although they were a despised people, Moses chose to identify himself with them and their cause, rather to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Moses wanted to be with his brethren. Turn back. We'll look at it very quickly. Exodus chapter 2. And we'll be saying more about this next week, but or the week after the holidays. Take a look at verse 11. Of Exodus 2, and it came to pass in those days when Moses was grown that he went out unto his brethren. He identified himself with the people of God. My friend, when you step out for Christ and get saved, you become a part of God's family. Your company changes. God's people, you know, are the best people in the world. Now, we're not perfect by any means. We have our faults, many of them. But there's nowhere else I would rather be than in the house of God with the people of God. God's people are those who are redeemed. God's people are those who are ready for death and eternity and heaven. I wonder today, are you among the redeemed? Are you ready for death and eternity and heaven? Are you a saint of God? Are you in the family of God? That's the question that I want to leave you as we come to the end of this service today. You cannot be a saint of God. You cannot be in the family of God unless you're saved. And you cannot become a saint of God after you die. You know, some people believe that they're going to get a second chance after they die. If they die in their sin, if they die rejecting Christ, then on the day of judgment, God will weigh up all their good deeds against all their bad deeds, and if their good deeds outweigh their bad deeds, then he's going to let them into heaven anyway. Not going to work like that. I'm sure that you heard that this week the Roman Catholic Church conferred upon Pope John Paul II saintship. They have made him a saint. Although Pope John Paul has been dead since the 5th of April 2005, it is only now, 8 years after his death, that according to the Church of Rome, he has become a saint. Men and women, there's only two things wrong with this announcement that has been made this week. And it's this: you cannot become a saint after you die. The Bible says the Son of Man hath power upon earth to forgive sins. The Word of God says, behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. You cannot become a saint without God's salvation, and God's salvation must be obtained in this life. You need to get saved now. You need to get saved before you die. You need to become a saint before you leave this scene of time. Because if you're not a saint of God and saved before you die, then you'll definitely not be a saint of God after you die. And also, no church or no system can make a person a saint or a child of God. The only way you can become a saint is by trusting Christ alone by faith as your own and personal Savior. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. The Church of Rome says that Pope John Paul has the right to become a saint because two people prayed to him and he answered their prayers. My friend, even if that was right, and it's not, no one will ever become a saint outside of faith in Jesus Christ alone. No one can become a member of God's family without receiving Christ as Savior. If it were possible, listen to me, if it were possible for you to be the world's greatest miracle worker, you would never get into heaven on that basis. Now let me prove that to you. Turn over to Matthew's Gospel chapter 7 for a moment and take a look at verse 21 and look what is said here in this portion of Scripture. Matthew chapter 7 verse 21 says, many will say to me in that day, verse 22, many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? And then when I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye workers of iniquity. Even if it were possible for you to be a miracle worker, even if it were possible for you to raise the dead, to give sight back to the blind, even if it were possible, that in itself would never get you into heaven. Because the Lord Jesus Christ teaches here plainly. Look at verse 21 now. Not every one that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Who will be in heaven? Those that do the will of his Father which is in heaven. What is the will of the Father? To believe on the Son and accept the Lord Jesus Christ as their own and personal Savior. Turn to John chapter 6 verse 29 and underline the verse in your Bible. And read it again when you go home. Jesus answered and said unto them, John 6 verse 29, this is the work of God, that ye believe on him whom he has sent. There's only one good work that you can do that will bring you into heaven and make you a saint of God, and that is the good work of faith in Jesus Christ. Notice when Moses stepped out for Christ, when he separated from the world, when he identified himself with the people of God, knowing that that was going to cause persecution to him, that he did it all by faith. Did you notice that? Well, take a look at it again, just in case you haven't seen it in Hebrews chapter 11. Look what it says. It says, verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. Look at verse 27. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king. By faith. You see, friend, that's how you're saved. You're saved by faith. Not through good works. Now, you could come to this church all your life, and you could pay into this church all your life. You could tithe to this church all your life. And you could sit in the pew of this church all your life. And you could believe in your head everything that this church teaches. And yet you could end up in hell from sitting in the pew of this church. Because, my friend, salvation is not through good works. Not of works which we have done. But by his grace he saves us. Salvation is through faith in Christ. Putting your faith in him. Trusting him alone as your own and personal redeemer. Oh, have you ever trusted him? Have you ever believed on him? Oh, my friend, if you haven't come and believe on him today, trust in him now. Only trust him. Only trust him. Only trust him now. He will save you. He will save you. He will save you now. Here we have Moses. He's 40 years of age. He's going to live for another 80 years. He's a young man. He has lived for 40 years in Egypt, enjoying the pleasures of sin. But now he realizes that he's the sinner. He realizes now that he needs to step out for Christ and leave the world behind him. And he separates from Egypt. And he identifies himself with the people of God who are under great affliction, knowing that once he would do that, he himself would be persecuted. But nevertheless, he realizes that what he's going to suffer in the rest of his life was worth nothing compared to what God was going to give him in all eternity. My friend, do you realize that you're going to live for all eternity? Either in heaven or in hell. You're going to exist. Although your body someday will stop existing upon this earth, as far as life is concerned, the breath will be taken out of your body. Your body will be put into the earth. Your soul. You have a mortal soul that will live on. And you need your soul saved today. Would you not step out for Christ? Would you not trust him? I pray that you will. Let us all pray.